In professional sports, star players get paid more, fly first class, and have different rules. But in real estate offices, we pretend everyone's equal while maybe knowing they're not. So today on Thought Leaders, we're ripping off the Band-Aid and asking, should your million-dollar agents get million-dollar treatment?
Superstar businesses require superstar performers, and superstar performers need to be attracted, engaged, and retained.
It is imminent business disaster to do and allow and star agent to be whoever they want to be.
So welcome everyone to a special type of Thought Leaders podcast episode today, something we're calling Edge Case. This is where we take the industry's most controversial statements and put them through a proper debate. I'm Samantha McLean, and I'm just going to quickly explain to you what makes Edge Case different. Yes, it is a debate, but we're not necessarily here to declare winners, although I'm sure that my two guests today will argue with full conviction and declare themselves winners anyway. So they'll be arguing a side of a statement, whether they believe it or not. And the reason that we're doing this is so that we can expand these difficult conversations and even challenge some of our own biases and assumptions. But before we dive into today's topic, I want you to meet the brilliant minds who have agreed to deep dive into a provocative discussion. So first up, we've got Dom, the Dominator Thurbon, the co-founder and creative officer at Carrikins Group, which he grew to 150 staff before its acquisition by EY in 2019. Dom is an internationally renowned speaker, facilitator, and a world top 10 debater. He's the author of best-selling books published in over 15 countries on behavior change, disruption, and leadership. And he's partnered with brands like Commonwealth Bank, Singtel, and Johnson & Johnson to architect award-winning transformation programs. He's currently writing a book on truthful leadership. He's known for his provocative insights and willingness to challenge conventional thinking in real estate. He'll also be emceeing the PM1 conference in September. So Dom, welcome. And before you say anything, I have to ask, the Dominator, did you give yourself that nickname, or was it just bestowed upon you by defeated debate opponents?
Oh, look, actually, I thought you must have entered it into the recording software before we signed on, because I certainly didn't self-apply that title. I don't know. But look, I'm not going to argue with it. Although I will note that there was a distinct lack of anything to do with real estate in the bio you just read. So I imagine I'm about to have my ass handed to me by the person on the other end of the table. But we'll see about that.
Well, let's introduce the person on the other side of the table who really actually needs no introduction. Fiona Blaney, the CEO and founder of Real Plus. Fiona's been a force in the industry since 1992, building one of the industry's most successful consulting, training and outsourcing services. That's Real Plus across Australia, New Zealand, UK and the US. She is now the creator of the PM1 conference, Australia's premier property management event. She's known for her no holds barred approach and commitment to pushing boundaries. And Fiona's mission is simple: challenge the status quo, break stuff, and then help rebuild it better. So Fee, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Sam. And Dom, I'd love to say that congratulations on all your accolades. Of course, you know, I wouldn't be able to be here up against such a star like you today if you hadn't done so well. So on behalf of all the humblings that are tuning in today, we would like to worship the ground you walk upon, our star agent.
So Fee, before we get into the real debate part of it, although you two look like you're already warm, you just launched PM1. Which is Australia's premier property management conference for PMs. After 30 years in the industry, why did you decide property managers needed their own spotlight? And tell us why you chose this one to be your MC.
Well, I think first off, I didn't decide that people wanted their own space. People decided they wanted their own space. And so, you know, I'm merely facilitating the space to occur. I think that property managers are wanting something very simple right now. They are wanting to be seen, heard, and valued. And so PM1 was brought to life to be able to do just that. And we brought together a whole range of industry alumni who were doing really cool things that aren't necessarily always in the spotlight. And of course, then we brought some incredible outside of industry speakers and knowledge experts. And that includes Don the Dominator, who I just think, being fair, I do think Don is one of the incredible minds in Australia. And believe me, if anybody is going to be able to come up against this topic that we have been given today and speak to it being correct and win such a competition, it is Dom. And that is why I've got him to be partnering with us in PM1 this year. You'll see what he's going to be able to do today, and that you'll know for yourself at the end of it why he's with us.
Yeah, amazing. Let's hope you two are still friends at the end of this. So today's topic is that star agents deserve special treatment, even if it ruffles feathers. But before we get into this topic and before we let these two present both sides of the story, let's cut to how this topic was chosen. Here are the potential debate topics for you two amazing humans. So three very big topics there: that AI will replace 50% of agents within 3 years, that leaders still don't tell the truth enough, and that star agents deserve special treatment. So do you want to call, Fiona, heads or tails?
I'm going to go heads.
Heads. Okay. There we go, flipping. And it is tails. Dom, the Dominator, you get to choose the topic.
Here's my thinking. I think obviously number two is a topic that I'm very passionate about. I'm literally writing a book about truthful leaders. If I were in Fee's position, I'd be looking to screw me super hard during this. So I'm going to bump two. I think the AI one is super, super, super interesting. But my fear would be that if I get the affirmative, I can see a world where Fee goes, no, AI is not going to replace 50% of agents. It's going to replace 100% of agents. So I'm going to say, I think we're saying star agents deserve special treatment, even if it ruffles feathers. And I think the fact that there's a good chance I'll never work in this town again after this debate is kind of the point of this.
So that means, Fee, you get to choose whether you take the affirmative or the negative.
Because I have a moral compass, I'm going to go with the negative, because I just do not believe that star agents deserve special treatment. Dom, welcome to Year 8 Debating. Game on, Mom.
Okay, so I love the strategy behind both your choices. So, Dom, you deliberately picked a topic that could get you in the most trouble. What were you thinking?
I just really like disproportionate rewards for people and want them. So I think, just following my heart, just speaking my truth.
Fair enough. And Fee, I've got to ask, Dom made a big show saying that he doesn't believe star agents deserve special treatment, then picked the topic anyway. Do you think he was using a bit of reverse psychology in there, sort of in executing the perfect debate trap?
Look, I targeted exactly the same positioning. Doll obviously got the opportunity to choose affirmative or negative, but I have to say that my brain went through the same process. I think that for Dom, it's a strategic move, because Dom knows that to win on being the negative side of things, which is my spot, that's pretty easy, right? I think that for Dom, he's going to be flexing his intelligence and showing us what he's made of. And he just likes breaking thinking. He's going to do that right now. And maybe at the end of this, we'll all love stars. Who knows?
Exactly. Well, I can't wait to get into it. So for all of you tuning in, we want you guys thinking about both sides of the argument too. Every Monday in the brief after we release an edge case episode, and we've got 10 of these coming up, there'll be a poll in the brief, our daily newsletter, where you'll be able to weigh in on whether you think that star agents deserve special treatment or not. So quickly, here's how edge case works. We've got 6 rounds coming up. First, opening statements from each of these guys to make their case. Then there'll be question time, where they get to ask each other questions. Round 3, they'll have to present some evidence to back up their arguments. And then they will directly address what they've heard from each other, round up their argument. And then finally, my favorite bit, the truth reveal, where they drop the debate and tell us what they really think. So, okay, you two, are you ready to challenge some assumptions and make our audience think?
Yeah.
Bumblebee, bumblebee, bumblebee. Let's go.
All right. Well, Dom, you're arguing that star agents deserve some special treatment. I'm going to put the timer up, 90 seconds. Whether you meet that or not, I don't know. But you've got at least 90 seconds to make us believers. So take it away.
Great. Well, do you remember the good old days when first place got a ribbon, second place got a slightly ribbon, third place got a high five, and everyone else got a freaking hot dog on the way home? What happened to those days? Now everyone gets a prize and has created a cult of the celebration of mediocrity, and we cannot allow real estate to go the same way. The simple truth is this: superstar businesses require superstar performers, and superstar performers need to be attracted, engaged, and retained. And any argument otherwise is putting feelings over facts, and it's putting politeness over performance. And frankly, I won't stand for that woke nonsense on this podcast. So that's why superstar agents should get special treatment, not only if it ruffles feathers, but especially if it ruffles feathers. And we're going to talk about why people who don't like high performance should be weeded out of organizations in 1 second. But there are three simple reasons for this. Reason number one, people who are worth more should get paid more. And one high-performing agent is worth 10 middling-performing agents and an infinite number of low-performing agents. They convert more appointments into listings, convert more listings into sales, sell houses faster, and sell them for more money. And your number one priority should be engaging and retaining that person. And the second, and that's the second reason why they deserve special treatment, because the real choice is not treat them special or not, it's retain them or not. And the real choice that Fee's going to ask you to make in this debate is not should we reward them or not, it's do you want to keep them or not? Because the truth is, the only way we keep them is by offering disproportionate reward. And the third reason is, if this ruffles feathers, that's a good thing, because anyone in your business who sees a high performer getting rewarded and gets annoyed is not worth having in your business. We want people who see high performance getting rewarded and go, I want to be that person, not I hate that person. And that's why if you're on the side of performance, results, and profitability, you're on my side of this debate.
Oh, I feel like the, we're not just ruffling feathers here. The feathers are already flying here. What a clap. Did you just do that?
Quack, 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 quack.
That was a super powerful opening. So thank you, Fee. The floor is yours. Why should star agents be treated just like everyone else?
Well, firstly, good morning, good afternoon to our debaters and, of course, my fellow audience members here today and our adjudicator, Sam, and the team at Elite Agent. It's lovely to be here with you. But let's cut through the noise because, you know, of course, somebody who is a star agent should be able to do whatever they like. They should be able to ruffle feathers. They should be able to treat at their team members, their culture, your clients, systems, processes in any way they want. It doesn't matter what damage they do, who they offend. It's at all costs that this enigma should be unbridled from any sense of adhesion to rules, responsibility, care, consideration of others. We should literally bow down to their very existence. Well, that notion is completely flawed. It's cracked right down to the core of the center of this earth, because it is imminent business disaster to do and allow a star agent to be whoever they want to be simply because they bring in the numbers. Let me tell you, my friends, this is not about special treatment. This is about creating sustainable business, because ultimately, ultimate performance does not necessarily dictate and demonstrate the real damage that is being done underneath that surface. I've spent 30 years in this industry, Dominator, and here's what I will tell you. Not only do the statistics back me up, but I can share with you and show you how morale tanks, good people walk, and clients will ultimately feel a drop in service. And do not even mention, Dom, do not mention, albeit I will, the fact that people will not come and work in your organization when they already see that there is a feather-ruffling superstar who is ego-driven and soaking up all the very oxygen of that organization's rule. A business cannot be built, Dom, on the back of one hero. It's built on consistency, on collaboration, on the culture where, yes, okay, everybody wins. It might not be the blue ribbon and they might not get paid the most, but they walk out that door feeling a sense of contribution. And that, my friend, is why I am proud to stand right here. And I will demonstrate today that I stand very firmly on the negative side of this debate.
Amazing. Well, that is a very strong start by both of you. And there we go. We're not up to the mic drop yet. But yeah, boom. I was just going to say, it's amazing to see you two, go at it already. And I cannot believe that 90 seconds goes so fast. But we're already into round two, where Fee, you'll get to go first this time, and you'll get to ask Dom some pointed questions about his opening statements. So floor's back to you, Fee.
And Dom, I'd like to ask you, what exactly is it that means that a star should be paid more? You know, what is it to ruffle feathers? You know, what is it that you would want to retain in them? Are you just about the money?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you framed it pretty, I mean, sue me, I suppose, for being a business owner who's interested in returning healthy profits. But I didn't think that would be controversial in a real estate podcast. But my answer to that is absolutely yes. That's what I'm interested in. I think it's really telling that the final line of your argument in response to that was, well, they might not get paid the most, but they'll walk out with a feeling of contribution. So if this debate ultimately comes down to whether real estate agency should be more interested in, quote, a sense of contribution or walking out the door being paid more, I don't think it's controversial to say that the people who return most of the business should walk out the door with the most money at the end of
the day. Like every star, Dom, like every star, you have completely misheard my commentary. What I said at the end was not that the business would have the final hooray in regards to revenue, but that star would. And is it perhaps the place of a business for sustainability? Because just as those humans walk out the door every day, Dom, and go home and come back the next, that star can leave. And then what do you do, Dom? What do you do when your star, who was born, is now gone?
Well, so I guess, so two responses to that, and I've got a question for you, which is surely the first question should be, firstly, something like 30% of real estate agents leave the industry within their first year of being in it. So everyone walks out the door at some point. The question is, what gives you the best chance that the best performing people stay? And as I understand your argument, do I understand correctly that your argument is because people will be annoyed at the literal top 10% of agents who sell something like 80% of the houses and offer disproportionate reward to their employers, because other people who can't deliver that performance might not like that, the business should simply not worry about keeping their literal highest performers?
Well, see, now, Don, that's an interpretation of the literal highest performers, because against what grade? You know, you'll look at statistics where in some instances you'll share that more than 48% of revenue of an organisation actually comes from the property management division. Now, the property management division are not seen as the star performers that you so love and adore, but yet they are building up the revenue and maintaining those doors to be open for your dear friend to walk through.
Sure. And in a debate about star property managers, I'm sure that would be a really interesting conversation to have. But in a debate about agents, where the top agents convert twice as many appraisals into listings, sell 2 days faster at a 6% higher premium than the middle performing agent, surely that is of significant enough incremental value. That also, can you help me understand any industry that doesn't have an approach where the highest performing people get paid the most?
But we're not talking about paid the most. We're talking about the ability for those people to ruffle feathers. I'm certainly in agreement with you that those people should be able to, if you are the highest performer in terms of revenue and results, absolutely that should be commensurate of your remuneration. However, we're not talking about that today, Dong. We're talking about that the star performer gets to ruffle feathers. And before you go on, Dom, I will tell you that the feathers that the star performer ruffles is not the feathers of the people in their coop. They're the feathers of the people in the farm. And that is all of the other team members, the administrators, the property managers, the BDMs, perhaps even the business owner or his or her wife or husband. And I tell you what, I don't want to be in that farm, Dom. And I've got statistics here out of Harvard, out of Gallup, Deloitte. We'll talk about them when we get to the data card, that I am not alone in this thinking. Statistics worldwide share the same approach.
All right. Well, we better let Dom ask Fiona a few questions. So, Dom, you have the floor. Go.
Yeah. My first question is this. Can you help me understand why the performance psychology of people who see someone being disproportionately rewarded for disproportionate performance and decide that they don't want to be in a place like that is a psychology of someone you would want in your team?
I think that we're misaligned perhaps on the framework of this initial question here, Dom. It's not about the disproportionate reward. I'm all reward for results. Absolutely fabulous. Love it. You're a $1 million GCI earner? Absolutely. If there's somebody earning 100,000 GCI for the same function getting different outputs, of course, different result. That's why we have the Olympics and we have little athletics, Dom. But what we're talking about here is the ruffling of feathers.
No, sorry, we're actually not. We're talking about feathers that are ruffled because someone has been given star treatment. So we're not just talking about...
Don, what is star treatment?
Well, I would define star treatment as the accrual of disproportionate rewards over and above that are given to the rest of the organization on the grounds that that person's performance has given them access to that. So we're talking about them having the run of the place, getting all the perks in the world, all the money in the world, because they've delivered it. Not because they're mates with the owner, not because it's a boys' club, but literally because the star treatment has given them access to rewards. And anyone in an organization, that also means something else, right? It means that anyone else in that business has one very simple way to access that reward: do as good a job. And they too would get it. But instead of seeing that performance and going, wow, I could get that too, they go, well, that guy. And what that tells me is that is a person whose feathers are ruffled by the thought of doing the work that needs to be done to deliver those rewards to the business. And I don't want to be surrounded. I talked to a world-leading surgeon for my book last week who said, the truth of the matter is, I will watch someone dig a hole provided they're good enough at it, because he had a level of humility where it was like, I just want to see and observe and learn from people who are good at stuff. A staff member in your business who watches someone be rewarded for awesomeness and gets annoyed is not someone you want to build a business
around. So, Dom, when I talk about rewards, I think you are really focusing here on the remuneration piece of the rewards. I'm talking about the behaviors, the ego position, the attitude, the approach to others. I'm talking about the total disdain for culture and environments. And that kind of thing is what actually ruffles the feathers of many of those farmyard animals. Not the remuneration, but it is about how you make me feel. And in many a star-style environment, that star is actually permitted, not just the rewards, but part of their reward structure is they can behave however they damn well please. And that is what I think is inappropriate.
So are we saying, guys, that you can't have large rewards without becoming a bit of an asshole?
No, that was going to be my next example. No, but I think I just think that is a fundamental mischaracterization of high performance. I think that is a caricature of what high performance looks like. Firstly, the way I know that is some of the most arrogant I've ever met have also been at their job. I have not experienced any... The whole thing about arrogance is arrogance starts where ability stops, right? And there is no shortage of middling and mediocre people walking around organizations have an incredibly destructive impact. What we're saying is that if we can create an organization where your capacity to be rewarded is directly linked to your capacity to do a job, that is most likely to create an organization where you have a performance orientation. And I don't think it's true to say that someone who is rewarded for doing a great job automatically becomes some kind of egomaniac. I think I'm sure it will for some people, but as I've said, there's egomaniacs everywhere. And it's simply not my experience working with high performers that all of them are these kind of demented, self-obsessed, egomaniacal freak shows who leave a trail of destruction behind them. That's just not what performance looks like in most of the businesses I've worked in.
So I suppose here is where we start to look at and require the definition of star. Because to me, Dom, the person who is not all of those lovely words that you've just recounted, the person who is not that, they wouldn't class themselves as a star. They wouldn't be ruffling feathers because their behaviors inside an organization are such that they come to the space with humility, with grace, yes, with a high performance. And that would be what I would call a high performance agent, not a star agent.
How about we get some data out? How about we move on to the data round and present some proof? So I'm going to
let... Evidence.
So let's go with some evidence. Did that just ruffle feathers? Rightio. So I'm going to go with Dom first. Where's your evidence?
Three or four data points that are really important, I think. Firstly, if you compare today to 10 years ago, the top 100 agents in 2013 were responsible for selling about 76 properties a year. Today, in 2023, it was 116. I think the top 100 is now something like 150. And the growth, the productivity growth of that top 100 tier of agents has significantly outpaced the middle tier. So that the highest performing agents, the gap between them and the next tier is getting bigger and bigger. That is, high performance is getting more and more economically valuable to an agency. Secondly, as I said before, I think one of the interesting things is when you compare top performing agents to, I'll read these ones. When you compare top performing to middle performing agents, they convert 75 versus 70% of contacts into an appointment, 63% versus 42% of appraisals into listings, and 41% of all listings go to the top 20% of agents, right? So there's this disproportionate collection, but here's a connection. And then they sell, I think, 6% faster and at a 5% higher value comparatively. That was a Journal of Housing Economics study. But the point I think that really comes out of it is this, and I imagine Fee's going to touch on some of this data as well. Among 66% of employees, the number one reason they give for leaving an organization is that they don't feel appreciated or valued. And the number one reason people leave real estate as an industry is unpredictability or unsuitability of income. The level of reward is the reason people leave, right? But the crucial data point here is that there is nothing that stops everyone becoming a superstar, right? It's not hard. In fact, the evidence was really clear that the top performing agents only did three things better than everyone else, right? They followed up every single one of their leads. The top performing agents followed 100% of their leads up. This is Macca's, like, the only thing that makes a great agent really is making lots of phone calls. They sign up 100, they follow up 100% of their leads. They contact them twice as fast as the next percentage of agents, and they're twice as effective at converting them into listings. Everyone can learn that. There's no excuse for not being one, right? So this idea of it's protected status and it's inaccessible and it ruffles feathers, there's simply no excuse for seeing a high-performing agent and not learning the skills to become one if you're in the industry. So given that they're so important and it's so accessible, I think disproportionate reward is the exact appropriate way to incentivize everyone becoming a high-performing agent.
All right, Fee, your data.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Dom, for leaning into my original concept, which is around the fact, are we talking about a high performance or are we talking about star agents? And I see those as two very different things. And, you know, Harvard Business Review actually agrees with me, and they talk, if we go globally, we're going...
Those guys are wrong all the time.
No, bro. They talk about toxic high performers, and that, you know, when you have an organization with toxic high performers, that it actually creates a 30% drop in productivity across the balance of the business and a 50% increase in voluntary turnover of team members simply based on that toxic situation. And I think we've, unfortunately, for many of us that have been in the industry, Dom, we have witnessed that ourselves. And, you know, you go into Gallup, let's go to another mediocre organization, and we'll talk about Gallup. And what they'll say is that in workplaces where people feel that they're in an unfair environment, they are 2.5 times more likely, that's 250% increase there, to be actively disengaging from what they're doing. But you know what? They're not enough. Let's talk about Deloitte, because Deloitte, of course, another mediocre outlet. In 2023, they did a human capital trends report. And in that, they said that 87% of companies that prioritize team-based recognition right? And special treatments see overall better performance, right? As opposed to over individuals, right? So we look at teams are going to get better performance. So to me, that data is clear globally, not just in real estate, but across the board. Now, Dom, I'm sorry, I'm going to share three more stats with you because I knew that you'd have something up your sleeve and you'd be thinking, well, that's not real estate fee. Well, let me talk to you about real estate. And in fact, information that was published on this very publication by which we are in today. If we go to a leading RE Global Surveys 23, it says agencies that rewarded only top billers without equal investment in team development overall experienced a 26% higher staff turnover within 18 months. If we go to my friends, some of people will know Peter Knight, and who has a business called Property Academy in the UK. Their lettings report designed stated that client satisfaction dropped off 18% in offices where star agents were allowed to bend the rules, citing inconsistency, poor communication, service gaps. All of these things lead to a very unhappy, unhealthy business environment. And I mentioned our own publication here within 2024, when we looked at the PM surveys, it showed that 72% of property managers left roles due to toxic culture and perceived unfairness, not workload, not other environments. So for me, that just proves that this special treatment, this ego ruffling feathers, do what you like because you're the best, damages retention, client experience, brand reputation. Do with that what you will, Dom. You mentioned your book earlier. I'd love to get a copy of that and see what you say about attitude and culture and leadership and where people should be focused. But we digress. We're not going to get personal today, Dom. This is all about just being on the negative or the affirmative.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I've got some questions for you both. Rapid fire questions. I want you to stay in character. Okay. You ready? All right. Here's a real scenario. Your star agent wants to skip the mandatory team meeting because they've got a client lunch. Struggling new agents see this. What message does it send? And does it matter? Fee.
Well, I think that if you are a top performing agent and you're engaged in the organisation, there's a client lunch, there's a few things that I'd look at here. Number one, is this a regular occurrence or a one-off? If you are participating like anybody else in other things, there are always variables that occur and there's going to be a relative amount of grey. If you can skip whatever you want, you never go to anything. There is no rules for you around participation. The rest of the team start to feel, and I see this firsthand in businesses, where this team start to feel that I can do that too. So we need to have a very strong approach and very strong culture. If you are going to allow that team member to do that, we need to have very clear sets of rules, boundaries, understanding, communication, transparency with the balance of the team so that it is not a feather ruffling occurrence, but there is a process behind which it happens that makes sense to everyone in the room. But to me, it's not an always things. It's a sometimes things, like a piece of chocolate versus an apple.
Okay, so I think the first thing it's really important to acknowledge there is Fee has literally just made a case for special treatment. Not special treatment all the time. No, not special treatment all the times. But look, if it's not a regular occurrence, if it's a one-off thing.
Not all the time. Not all the time. I didn't say all the time.
I didn't say all the time either. No one said all the time. I said they deserve special treatment.
I have a question for you, actually. If every agent deserves special treatment based on their performance, doesn't that just mean regular treatment? How do you keep raising the bar?
Okay, well, firstly, can I answer the previous question as well? Because the answer is yes, they should skip the lunch and go to the client meeting.
We'll give you the question. Let's let you answer everything, shall we? No, we'll. Yeah.
Well, you know, special treatment. But the answer is yes, they should be allowed to skip the team lunch because we should always prioritize client work over things, because I worked at a big four and I'm legally obliged to say that. Secondly, with specific reference to, does it, like, if there's no rules for anyone, it doesn't everyone get special treatment? No, I don't think that's how it works at all. What I'm advocating for is once you reach a certain level of like top tier performance, there are a great subset of rules which really should simply stop applying to you. Now, we can put all sorts of, like, no one should ever be allowed to break the law, for instance, right? And that way lies front page Sydney Morning Herald articles, for instance, right? So I don't consider that star performance nor that a form of special treatment. But absolutely, if you're in a position where you're selling 156 houses a year versus someone 65, and one of the ways you do that is skip the team lunch. And what other people learn is a very simple lesson. if I also am going to find ways to disproportionately contribute to this business, then I also will find myself in a situation where I get the same level of treatment. This is the great kind of illusion of the data that Fee shared earlier, right? So firstly, not a single one of the organizations that Fee mentioned, by the way, Gallup or Harvard or Deloitte, don't have a tiered remuneration structure. But secondly, the problem there is not special treatment. The problem there is a lack of transparency, right? The sense that there's this clique of people getting special treatment that's unattainable. People are leaving because it's unfair. What I'm suggesting is not unfair. It's completely fair. Treating unequal people equally is what creates unfairness. Treating special people specially is fair.
Okay, so Fee, I'm just going to ask one more question and then I'm going to get you to do the truth reveal, okay? So imagine you're running an NBA team. Would you give LeBron James the same practice schedule as a rookie? And why is real estate different?
So I think the schedule is different. Simply, well, when you talk about schedule, I'm going to assume that you're either talking about time on the court time in the gym, like as a time-based situation. And I think that one would potentially argue that maybe LeBron James, being LeBron James, does more than the rookie. Right, just simply because he knows what needs to be done in order to, you know, maintain his positioning. What I would also suggest is that the types of training and the formats of training and the skill development, again, is going to be quite different. One is going to be honing and refining skill. The other one is going to be skill developing. So I do think there is going to be differences. However, I would require both LeBron and the rookie to adhere to their schedule. I would require them to meet the minimum standards, but that would not only include the activity, that would also include the behaviors. And in many ways, I would probably expect more from my top performer so as to minimize the feather ruffling of our younger ones, to support them to come through. Because one day my LeBron will be gone and I need my rookie to be ready to take his place.
I feel like you're describing Roy Kent in Ted Lasso.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I never actually watched that show, would you believe?
Oh, you have to. You have to. All right. Well, okay. It's time to drop the affirmative and the negative. Ladies first, I'm going to say, Fee, what's your real position on this debate?
This is where Fee reveals that she absolutely believes in special treatment.
Oh, I think special treatment. What I think is that when we talked about this topic, it was quite obvious that the approach that I'm taking is not about performance, right? It's not about remuneration. I understand that there's definitely remuneration and reward for results, depicting on the different roles that people have, reflective of, if we talk about sales agents being the star agent, then of course a sales agent who, you know, puts together more deals and so forth is going to be remunerated higher. I understand that there's going to be certain blue ribbons that they perhaps get both inside their office and outside of the office. The approach that I was taking, though, with the feather ruffling, is that I do believe that we can all be good people, right? And I'm taking the approach that feather ruffling occurs in an organization where the star performer is permitted to behaviorally play the wrong game with the business and create. And I have been in those organizations, and I'm sure you all have. You've witnessed these people. There are some absolutely terrible things over the last 30 odd years in real estate that I have witnessed star agents do, you know, behaviorally. And in the vast majority, of course, they're not. You know, in the vast majority, they're simply high performers, not stars of the show, right? And so I believe that everybody in a business has the requirement to contribute to that business culturally as a team, right? LeBron contributes to the team. So they need to contribute to the team. If I ruffle feathers because I wish I could earn, sorry, if I'm ruffling feathers and somebody else wishes they could earn more or do more or be more, right? It would be wonderful for the star the high performer to say, hey, here's what I did. Here's the things. Let me share, right? So from that point of view, I'm still over on my offended, on the negative side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I keep getting in my language there. But I'm still over on that negative side, but it's with the cadence around my positioning that feather ruffling is occurring because of behavioral approaches and acceptance of subpar behaviors that lead to toxicity in workplaces, when toxicity in workplaces results in, you know, all of the things that I mentioned throughout the debate today.
So Dom, I'm going to give you your go in a second, but you've just made me think, Fee, that I interviewed someone once and I said, you know, like, how do you manage your star performers? And that person said, I just get out of their way. Imagine that business 5 years down the track. What do you think is going on there with that? You know, because we all know that it starts with leadership, right? So I just get out of their way. Where is that business in 5 years' time?
It's a grey area where that business is, because it heavily comes down to the moral compass of that original human, right? So I've got people that I've worked with over the years, and I wouldn't necessarily use that same turn of phrase, but I give them space to do what they need to do, because what they are completely business aligned, they're culturally aligned, we share the same values, they understand where we're going, they're playing on the same team, on the same court, on the same day, we're moving in the same direction. They just happen to be really, really good at it. And so that's my kind of get out of their way. But I would completely jump in their way if they were not following in along those alignments, because my gut instincts, all the statistics, all the experiences I've had in that thousands of businesses I've worked with is that when you get out of the way of someone who is a star, right, not just a top performer, but a star, time and time again, I have seen them, you've got out of their way to such an extent that you end up parting ways. And when you do, you part ways, they're off and you are left with a giant financial hole in your business that many businesses actually cannot come back from. And it fundamentally changes the course of that business's life and the people around it forever, really.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, Dom, it's time to take the chicken wings off. What do you really think?
Oh, don't believe a word of what I just said. Not a word. I actually think one of the ironies of this is I actually think it's much easier to argue my side of the topic, because you wind up being able to just go, what, you don't like high performance? And I thought Fee did an incredible job of kind of nuancing that. A few definitional tricks in there as well, but like they're a very, very good, like an incredibly good job of arguing that. But I agree with everything Fee just said. There's, to me, one, the notion of an individual superstar is an illusion anyway. You know, the most telling bit of the data of everything I found with this is that the number of people supporting the top performing agents over the last decade has risen from 1.6 to 2.6. The number of people supporting them has increased by a higher percentage than their performance has, because there's no such thing as an individual star in a team. That's just an attitude, right? And so all the stuff Fee was talking about the truth is teams outperform individuals all the time. And you see it across sport, you see it across business. And not to mention the fact that, yeah, then they leave and you're just left with this giant gaping hole in the organization. But also my other genuine belief is that the pressures and incentive structures that drive that kind of stratospheric superstar performance are also the things that open you up to deep ethical misconduct, because it becomes all about those numbers and all about that special treatment. I think it's a slam dunk that it shouldn't be the case. That said, the one thing I do agree with from the affirmative side of this debate is the notion that if someone is put off by high performers being disproportionately rewarded, then it can mean one of two things. One, your structure isn't fair or transparent, so they don't see it as being fair. They don't understand what they have to do to get it. And so it's not the high performance that's putting them off. It's the lack of transparency or the feeling of it's special. But secondly, if it does genuinely come from a, we'll screw those guys, then I do think that speaks to a psychology that itself is kind of problematic in a business as well. But I think my rule of thumb is anything you would describe as special treatment is bad. If you describe it as fair remuneration, if you describe it as incentive, if you describe it as disproportionate reward, as soon as that crosses over into anything you would call special treatment, you know you're in dangerous territory, is my personal view. And I think the evidence that Fee shared is incredibly compelling in that regard.
So what you're saying is even that you top performers, and this is just, you know, again, sort of playing a little bit of the devil's advocate, is that, you know, well, actually, let me ask this question. What advice would you be for the leaders at the moment that are out there who are under pressure to give their stars higher commission splits or their own parking space or their first pick of leads? You know, at what point does this become toxic? And just a short piece of advice on what they can do.
All of those things. You know, I've got businesses where parking is scarce, right? And I've seen businesses where if you're the top performer for the month, you get the parking space, right? And it's actually part of an incentive. So to Dom's earlier point, it's transparent, right? It's like you're the top performer, you've earned the accolade, you get the space, right? And then, but that same organization, you know, might, more often than not, but yeah, they might also do something fun where it's like, okay, team member of the month this quarter gets the parking space. That might happen to be the receptionist, and that's part of this, you know, kind of cohesion of a business, representing and reflecting the understanding that the receptionist has also played a part in the top performer's ability to do their role, right? So I think that there's ways of providing elements of reward like car spaces. When it comes to the percentages, it's a tough one, right? Mm. It's a tough one because, as we see in our industry, we do see agents who are now, they're the top performer, and so they're going to go out and they'll be start their own agency or a micro business and so forth. And that's where business owners have to get really smart about creating businesses that are not based on a top performer. They're not based around a top performer, but they are created to include a top performer. And that's a risk analysis process and then a strategy around how do we manage, and I get the businesses I work with to look at, how do we manage if they go? And at what point are we ready for that? So what would we need to do if Dom was my top performer? What do I need to do, not just to keep him, but what do I need to do when he goes? Because yeah, he could go at any minute. Even if I, the business owner, was the top performer, something could happen to me, something could happen to a loved one, be that good or bad, and I might not be able to earn tomorrow. And so then what do we do? It's all the what-if scenarios. So I think it's a very difficult one to answer, you know, in an open statement around if somebody wants an, you know, they want to go from a 70% to an 80% split. Some businesses do that and, you know, they're literally in the red on that human, but they bring brand presence. They're a loss leader. You know, there's a whole range of things that they might decide there's value to that. So I think that's a case by case basis.
Yeah. Okay. And Dom, any final thoughts from you? Would you like to have a go at that question?
Yeah. Could I offer a framework for that? I think there's, I think if you're thinking about reward, recognition, incentive for any of this stuff, there's four really simple rules that apply. So number one, it should be transparent, right? So whatever the system is, everyone should absolutely know and understand it. Two, it should be accessible. If you have a reward system in the business that only an agent can ever win, everyone else in the business completely de-identifies, right? So this is Fee's point of like, if only the agent can win the car park, that really sucks if you're a receptionist, right? And so they need to be accessible. Three, they need to be accessible and transparent, but three, they need to be balanced, right? So people keep tying incentive just to revenue as if revenue magically happens, right? But revenue, like even that point about the top performing agents are supported by more people than they've ever been before. And businesses develop this cult of like, well, if you bring the dollar in the door, that's your work. It's like, it's freaking not. Like it's a team effort. So there needs to be a balance to the things that we measure and care about. And fourthly, they need to be sustainable. My first question of a top performing agent would be, what have you done to make the other people in the team perform as highly as you? Because that's, as a business owner, what I need them to do, so we don't have Fee's problem that she's articulated of they leave and we're left with a giant black hole. And so that balance should extend to like, what are the teaming behaviors they've done to bring everyone else up? And those four things together make it much more likely to be a system that incentivizes us to perform as a team, because ultimately even the top people have 5 days a week, 48 weeks of the year where they can work for you. At some point, they have no more time. The only way you can increase performance is by raising the standard of the team, which is why the data are all on Fee's side, right? And so transparent, accessible, balanced, and sustainable are the four rules for building an incentive program that actually drives the right behaviors in a high-performing way.
Well, I think that's a great framework and probably a great place to end, because I have hugely enjoyed the banter between you two. And I almost feel like a game show host now. My life is complete.
We need a sting for it, Sam. We need like a great theme song.
Finally turned this podcast into something like Jeopardy. But if you guys out there listening have loved also the banter between Fiona and Dominic, there will be plenty more of that at the PM1 conference, pm1.com.au. So grab your tickets, and I'm sure that they'll be dropping a heap of value bombs at the conference over 2 days, just as they have today on the podcast. So Dom, Fee, thank you so much for showing us what intellectual curiosity looks like in action. And thank you both for being great sports.
Thanks for having us. It's been loads of fun. And, you know, I walk away today smiling at what a star I really am, Dom, for having chosen you.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And let's do this again sometime. I hope it was good for you too.
September. I'll see you there.
Well, that's it. We've still got some other topics to unpack. But for you guys listening at home, it's your turn now. So when you get the brief on Monday, cast your vote. Should star agents get special treatment, even if it ruffles feathers? And if this has made you think at all, if it challenged something you believed, share it with someone who needs to hear it. This has been Edge Case. I'm Samantha McLean. Keep questioning everything.